Blog Talk Radio.
Well, a pleasant good day to you, and we hope you're doing great today. This is Carl White. I'm here on Can We Be Real? And we're talking to our enrolled agent, our tax expert, David L. Murphy's on the line. He's going to come and tell you how to keep more of your money. And we're welcoming you to our show where we do this show so that we can help somebody. Help somebody to figure out things socially, economically, your finances, and also today we're working on taxes. You know, some people don't even want to say the three letters, IRS. These letters often spark more fear, oh my gosh, than any terrorist threat that you could imagine. But today we've got a local expert on the line, and in fact he's going to help you deal with some of your tax situations and maybe something to come up that can help you figure things out and make it a little better. So we're excited to have David L. Murphy on the line with us. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Carl. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. So what's going on with you today? How are you at the end of this 2012? We're here in the last day of November. How are things going with you?
Pretty good. Just, we're planning for the upcoming year and doing a lot of tax planning and dealing with physical stuff for a few clients. So pretty good. How about yourself?
It's well, man. Every day I wake up and I got a little breath in my lungs. It's a great day. So I make the best of it.
So why don't you tell me.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Carl.
No, why don't you tell the folks what you do and how this time of year can be beneficial to us?
Well, we have an accounting firm, a tax representation and accounting firm. We've been in business since 1986. We do tax prep, everything from, you know, filling out a W-4 to representation up to tax court. So that's all of your taxes that need to be filed, business, individuals, nonprofits.
Now, you've been in this business for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been in business since 1986, and just been providing service to our client base and all the referrals that we've had.
Now, do people actually have to live in the same state with you in order to utilize your services?
No, they don't. We have clients throughout the United States, anywhere from New York to California and from Chicago down to Florida. And, of course, you know, being in business that long, we've had clients that have relocated to other cities, and they still keep us as their representatives. We have referrals from other states, so being an enrolled agent, you can represent across the country. So that's exactly what we provide.
Now, you're a member of the National Association of Enrolled Agents and also California Society of Enrolled Agents. Why don't you tell the people what is an enrolled agent?
Very good question, Carl. I'm glad you asked that. Well, enrolled agents, we're licensed by the Department of Treasury. Or you have to take there's a couple of ways to become an enrolled agent. Either you take a three-day test or you work for the IRS for, I think it's 5 years, and at that point you can take a test. So enrolled agents, we specialize in taxes, whereas a CPA may or may not specialize in taxes. And, again, we do representation for taxpayers. We have from the simplest return to the most complicated. So we have clients that come to us from all over the country with tax problems and, you know, some as small as a couple hundred dollars, and we have even clients that have liabilities, you know, over a couple million dollars. So it all depends on the situation, but we're here to, you know, provide the service and hopefully represent you before the Internal Revenue Service and keep you out, keep your liabilities low, and then keep you from going places that you don't want to go because of tax issues.
Well, that's great. Now, where can people find you?
Well, you can send us an email, and I'll repeat it again at the end of the show, but you can send us an email to dl.murphyinc@verizon.net, or you can call us at 310-649-2022. That's probably the best way. And then our web address is dlmurphyinc.com.
All right. Now, the IRS is sometimes people look on as a big monster. So what can you say about the myth of the monster in the IRS, and what about the fear? Should we fear IRS?
Well, no, not, I mean, not really. I mean, it's a way of collecting taxes that the government uses to pay for the services they provide to us on all levels. And we do represent at all levels to, you know, state, Board of Equalization, employment taxes, and the Internal Revenue Service. So, no, it is you shouldn't fear them. Basically, you want to make sure that you're having somebody representing you, or if you're doing it yourself in some cases, depending upon what your income is and how big whether you have a W-2 or, you know, properties or businesses. But you basically want to be able to do what you're supposed to do, file your returns, and not be afraid of them. I think in the past they've actually have used that fear tactic to get taxpayers to comply. They went away from that for a while. It seems like now I've had probably two or three clients this week that have told me that the IRS is actually knocked on their door. So with the proper person representing you and doing what you're supposed to do on a quarterly or whatever your basis is for filing, I think you'll be okay. But they're definitely not someone to fear. And if you feel like that, make sure you contact a professional.
Okay. And what are some of the things that people can do to stay out of trouble with the IRS? I know hiring a good person and having them, but what if we receive one of those dreaded letters in the mail? What should we do?
Okay, well, you know what? I'll get into that. I wanted to take a few seconds here, Carl, to remind everybody to be aware of what's going on with this physical cliff that you hear a lot about on the news, and it's all over the newspaper. That is, as far as taxes go, that will be an issue that we're all going to have to deal with, and advice for that end would be planning. A real quick history on that to give the listeners, if they're not aware of it, what that really means. Well, you know, when back in 2009-11, Bush enacted a lot of tax cuts, to make a long story short, and those tax cuts are expiring now, and so they will, you know, longer, and tax rates will go back up. So this, part of this physical cliff is letting those reductions or tax rates go back up, and everybody will have higher taxes. So we definitely that's probably one of our biggest issues now that we're getting calls about and representing people about and doing tax planning for. So Social Security taxes will be going up pretty much from 4% back to 6%. Investments, capital gains, dividends will be taxed differently. There'll be a lot of issues with that. So not to go into it, maybe we'll have another show on that one day, but that's something you definitely want to be aware of and read up on, listen to, and maybe talk to your tax professional before year end to do the planning for that. But to get back to your question regarding letters from the IRS, interesting subject matter. I have clients that get the letters and send them to me. I have clients that get the letters and put them in a drawer and never open them up. So it goes from one end of the other. But you shouldn't be fearful. Basically, there's probably over 164 different types of letters that the IRS can send you with notifications, anything from please file your return to a notice of levy or lien against you. So when you get the letters, you know, don't be afraid to call somebody to help you. And hopefully that will be us or your tax professional.
Now, there's a lot of talk about the fiscal cliff. Is it really a cliff, like the whole country's going to fall off the cliff, or is it more of a curb?
Well, I guess nobody really knows. I don't think we've ever got to this point in the road where there is a cliff there. I think what they're talking about is financially what could happen to the country. Again, it's way of automatically reducing the deficits by increasing the taxes that everyone pays. That's one way to reduce deficit, which would be you hear about the income side of it. And then the other side of it is reducing expenses, which you hear about the cuts in Medicare, cuts in Social Security. So what they mean by physical cliff is that if something isn't done, before the time period is up, the end of the year, from a financial point of view and from a just everybody's financials and tax situations, we will fall off the cliff, you know, kind of out of control. Maybe we'll go back into recession again. So that's kind of what they're talking about when they say physical cliff. And there's a lot of things that come with that. Hopefully they'll be able to work it out, and it'll be another, you know, there won't be a cliff. Maybe there'll be, like you say, a slow curve that we go around. But it could literally affect the whole country again and the rest of the world, Europe and Asia and all the other, you know, financial situations that are out there with, you know, between the United States and the rest of the world now. You know, it's a much smaller world. So when we sneeze, somebody else knows it just across, you know, overseas.
So the fiscal cliff, and as far as the world, there's being aware of our own situation and then looking at the economy from a large scale, a macro scale, or looking at my individual micro scale. One of the things that kind of seems to resonate with you is to mainly just be aware, open your eyes and see what's going on around you. Is that help to, you know, give us an understanding or to make better decisions? What does that do?
I think that dealing with the physical cliff issue from my, you know, expertise, from my point of view, would be to, which is the tax part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a part of it that's reduction of income, which we pretty much don't have any control over, you know, what they decide to cut, what they decide, you know, whether they're going to reduce Medicare, whether they're going to reduce Social Security, whether they're going to stop certain benefits, what support will they give the states. Those issues we really don't have any control of. What you do have control of is understanding what that cliff will do from a financial point of view and what that cliff will do from a tax point of view, which we know. We know that some of the issues will be, you know, tax rates going to go up from a max of 35% to possibly 39.6%. And the lowest tax rate now in 12 is at 10%. In 2013, the lowest tax rate will be 15%. So knowing that, you should be looking at planning, doing tax planning for 2012 and for 2013. So if you know what's going to happen, you can kind of prepare for it. And if you look at, normally what we'll do is tax planning for individuals. We will take their projected income for next year and apply the potential new tax laws in a worst-case scenario, calculate what their liabilities will be, and put situations or plan on items that we can do to reduce the tax liabilities. And that's, you know, that's what you should be doing every year, not just because of the physical cliff, but this year really, you know, brings out more because there's a lot of changes going to happen. For instance, if the Social Security is increased from the 4.2% on the first $110,000 back to 6.2%, you automatically know you're going to be receiving 2% less income.
Okay.
Per paycheck, if you're working for, you know, with an employer.
Sure.
So what do you do about that? How do you plan it? What do you do with your exemption? So, you know, you know me, Carl. You've been knowing me for a while. Don't let me get too detailed here. I don't want to start teaching a tax law course.
Oh, you're doing good. You're doing good.
So, anyway, yeah, there's a lot of situations like that. There's issues with estate taxes and gift tax that will increase the exemption amount. For estate taxes will go from $5 million before you pay any estate tax back down to $1 million. So those of us that have those large estates that you're dealing with from your heirs, you know, you could have significant tax differences in there. A lot of different types of incomes will be taxed differently in that next year. Capital gains will probably go from 15% to 20%. And dividends will be taxed at an ordinary income tax rate, as now they could be, you know, 0 or 10%. So there's a lot of numbers and tax laws that are scheduled to go back to the old rates before the Bush tax cut that will affect all of it. And You don't have to wait for your tax return to be filed in April, or if you file for an extension in October 2013, to determine what your tax liability is going to be.
Okay.
For that time period. So planning would probably be the word of the hour here.
And that's the way to dispel the myth, kind of open your eyes to how much you got coming in, where it's coming from, and what are the tax consequences of the income that you have. Now, what are some of the consequences of doing nothing? Say you get that letter in the mail and you do nothing. Is that just horrendous?
Yeah, some people do that. It's kind of like you stick your head in the sand and hopefully that it goes away. I always say when you receive letters or notices from the Internal Revenue Service or any tax agency, whether it's the state or the sales tax or whatever tax agency it may be, you're going to have a couple of options. One, you're right, you can do nothing. Just put the letter in the drawer or don't open it up or don't go to the post office and get your signed mail that you need to sign for and do nothing. And that's the case that some taxpayers do. They get it, leave it alone. Don't call anybody, just kind of stick their head in the sand. That way, eventually, we'll catch up with you, and we'll get into that a little later. But the letters will get aggressively more threatening, and to some point, they will garnish or levy your bank account. The next step after that is when you get the letters, you can open them up, you can call someone, and then you're going to have a couple of options once you start dealing with the Internal Revenue Service, and I'll keep it on a national level now. You'll be able to, one, if your income is not there, so you don't have any income, you lost your job, you can probably go into a non-collectible status. That has to be documented, but those saying you can't squeeze water out of a rock.
Right.
IRS realizes that, and if you go into a non-collectible status, you can potentially stay like that for 1 year. The next year, when you file, if you have your W-2s, they'll review your account, and we'll go back and deal with it from a collection point of view and saving you. The next one would be probably set up an installment agreement. Installment agreements are normally over 60 months normally if your liability is under $25,000. So if your liability is under $25,000, chances are pretty good that you can set up an installment agreement, take whatever amount of taxes you owe, divided by 60, and that will be your potential monthly payment. No financial statement, pretty much guaranteed.
Now, if some people choose not to file, I understand that the fees can be up to 10 times.
Well, the fees for – well, let me back up. Correct. When it's time to file your returns, you should always file the returns even though you have a liability.
Okay.
You want to file the return, whether you got the money or not. Even though I'm going to owe the money, exactly.
Right.
Because if you file the returns, you're not going to have the late filing penalty. And when you say 10 times higher, the late filing penalty is 10 times higher than the late payment penalty.
Okay.
So if you prepare your returns, you owe, $3,000, you're like, oh, I'm not going to file until I get the money to pay them. That's probably one of the ways that you're automatically increasing your liability. So always file the return when you can, on time, before the deadline, and then go in to set up an installment agreement, and you're saving yourself that 10 times higher. The penalty for non-payment is one-half of 1%. The penalty for not filing is 5%. Of the tax liability.
Wow. Yeah, so it's important to go ahead and file whether or not you can make the payment, because the not filing is way higher than the penalty on not paying. Yeah.
Right.
Now talk to us a little bit about audits. And I know some people, they're really scared. And, man, they talk to us about audits. Let us know. What the heck's going on there?
An audit is basically the – audit doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. An audit basically means that, we used our system to determine that potentially there could be something incorrect or against our and I say our, meaning the IRS, against what they determine is the standards for your income level. And they do that by obvious stuff that's on your return that wasn't reported to them, some mismatched information. Each return that's filed has a score to it, so your return could have a high score, which puts it in that category. And then there's a certain amount of returns that are just randomly picked by the Internal Revenue Service. So when you get the audit letter, that's basically what they're saying. Hey, Carl, we sent you a letter. These are items you want to review on your return. Please contact us or send us information by mail, and we want to verify it. So if you had a $100 deduction on your tax return, basically as long as you send them the documentation to support that, your audit is over, there's no change on your return. I think a lot of taxpayers have a misconception that when you get the letter, the audit letters, you automatically did something wrong, and they're trying to take my house, they're trying to take my car, you know, they want to take my kids, and it really isn't like that. When you get the letter, don't be scared. Read the letter. A lot of people don't even read the letter. They just see audit and they freak out. See what items they're requesting documentation for on the return, because they don't want every line on your return. They don't want documentation for every line. They want specific, normally specific lines, whether it's contributions, support for mortgage interest, you know, support for work-related expenses, whatever that may be. So when you get the letter, don't be afraid. Open it up. See what it says. Contact the professional if you don't have the supporting documents. And my recommendation is never go to the IRS yourself. I think that's
okay. Have somebody who knows with you.
Have somebody help you. Have somebody who can represent you. Go and speak to them. A lot of them will start asking you questions and start digging. If your audit is over a certain percentage of your tax liability, it gives them an opportunity to open up the year before and the year after. Year before or the year after. So you go into 2010, there's a 50% difference in what your liability. They can say, okay, you know what, I want to review your 2011 for that same area. So you really want to be prepared before you go in for your audit.
Now, some of the things that people, you know, they go through life and they try to do things the right way, and somehow they end up, you know, overspending, and then they get to the end of the year and they've got more month than money, and you know, the taxes, they had a large sum of money, but depending on their lifestyle, they kind of, you know, they overspent. And so as we get down to the last 6 minutes of our call, because we're down to the end of the show, and it's gone back really, really, really fast, and we appreciate you coming on with us, Dave, and sharing some of this tax information. And once again, if you want to reach Dave Murphy and you have any questions, his phone is 310 area code 649-2022. And email you can send to dl.murphy.inc@verizon.net. But as we go through the rest of the show, kind of give us some, you know, best advice. How do we plan for it? Say, you know, if people, because I know they used to claim a lot of exemptions if you're a salary person, and you get towards the end of the year and you haven't paid in enough. How do we go forth so that, you know, we do make better decisions and we avoid taxes, but we don't do the illegal thing, which is evade taxes?
Well, a very good point. I would say, one, you don't have to wait until, which we talked about earlier, you don't have to wait until next year to determine what your tax liability or refund is going to be. So the sooner you can do that, and I usually get clients starting in the last quarter of the year.
Okay.
They come in and they actually do the planning. And as far as that goes, you want to make sure that the person that you're working with, whether it's a tax attorney, an enrolled agent, a CPA, or a tax preparer, find the level that meets your needs. You're not overpaying or not getting the proper representation. So that's one place I would probably start at. And then do your tax planning before the year end, so that you can make any adjustments to your income or expenses before December 31st. But after that,
okay.
Okay. And of course, which we talked about, file your taxes before the deadline if you can. If you don't file them before April the 15th, make sure you get an extension. Put in the extension. Make sure that it's filed. I mean, we talked about the penalty for that. And just, you know, don't be, know where you're at, understand your taxes, understand your income, understand what your options are for reducing your tax liability for the upcoming year. And it depends on what your income level. I have some clients that come in 3 times a year, and we actually review their cash flow and their tax changes or tax laws that are coming up that could affect them. So plan would probably be the first point of order, and then make sure that you have the proper person writing off, working for you to prepare your taxes so you don't miss write-offs. So I've had clients that come in, well, I wanted to do it myself because I didn't want to, I didn't want to spend the $200 and have the taxes prepared that my preparer was going to charge me. And they end up losing thousands because they forgot to check a box on the return or didn't realize a new write-off or deduction that was good for them. So you do have a time period on how long you can go back and file an amended return to the rest of the return, which is 3 years. So plan, make sure you have the right professional working for you, and like you say, deal with it and understand where you're at with your taxes and your income.
Now, how about the software programs? Is there a time when, a guy could use those or a lady choose not to use those? So you give us a couple instances on that?
Yeah, that's a good point, Carl. The part of having a professional in the real world is there's a lot of stuff that's available online now. You can go to the IRS and have them prepare your returns. You can get tax software free from the different agencies. You can buy tax software at, Staples or Home Office Depot or online. So, again, depending on the tax complexity of your return, if you're single, one W-2, no kids, no write-off, no dependents, and you're comfortable with working with tax software and, can understand the basic rules of the tax law, yeah, you might be able to file your own return and get your return yourself and not pay anyone. But there's tax software from free up to, thousands and thousands of dollars. So depending on where you're at in that cycle on what you should do, it doesn't hurt to call somebody and get some advice, some free advice, some consulting to understand what you need to do. A lot of clients will come in to me and I say, you know what, we can do it for you. This is our minimum fee, but you can do it yourself. Go do this here. Or you can even take your information to the IRS and they'll file the returns for you.
Wow.
So a lot of options out there, and depending upon your comfort level and what your expertise is. And I have some people, Carl, that, like you say, you say the word IRS and they start shaking.
Right.
So it's really on a case-by-case basis and depending on where you're at and, how you want to do it.
Well, Dave, we sure appreciate you spending time with us, and in the future we'll have to do another show as we get closer before your tax season actually kicks in and everybody wants to talk to you. So we've got about 1 minute left, and just to sum it up, D.L. Murphy, you can reach him. Just give him a call. He's there at 310-649-2022. This is Carl White. We have been here keeping it real so that we could help somebody with your finances and your fiscal situation that you don't go off the deep end. Remember, plan. Prepare ahead of time and talk to a professional. You got all those P's that you need to do in order to make sure your life is going right. And we appreciate you listening in today. Have a great day. Make it a better day. And remember, no matter where you go, there you are. So take care of yourself. Take care of your finances and knowing that there is some help. the IRS doesn't have to be some great big mythical monster at the deep blue sea. So just kind of deal with it in a real way and plan ahead. This has been Carl White with Help Somebody. We hope that we've helped you today.